You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
That might not necessarily be the kingdom. It makes you really dangerous when you hear God speak for yourself. Church, we need to have a value for the Word of God, and we need to have a value for the presence of God in such a way that we're those kind of weirdos that we actually hear God speak. Amen? And we're going, I know what God is saying. I know what the Lord is saying to me right now. I'm not just studying what God said 2,000 years ago. I know Jesus right now.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church, Troy Brewer. Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
All right. Son.
Hello, everybody. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Troy Brewer here, and it is Friday. Yay for Friday. And y'all know what we do on Fridays is we actually broadcast our podcast. It's Broadcast Podcast Friday here on Experiencing Real Life. And if you're like, what are you talking about? All you got to do is go to troybrewer.com and you can get this podcast and many others. As I have some pretty cool friends from all around the world, and I've got a pretty cool friend in here with me today. Pastor Jeremiah Parks from Heartwork is in the house. Son.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad you're here, man. Welcome to this. What do you think about this studio and the golden mic here? And what do you
Well, for all you guys listening, if you're wondering if that guitar is like a pre-recorded deal, it's not. Pastor Troy is actually he just set down the guitar. That's real life. He's holding that.
That's actually a Keith Urban guitar too. Did you see that? Have you ever had Keith Urban came out with his own brand of guitars? Yeah, man, I've got a Keith Urban. I
saw Keith Urban years ago.
Did
front
you really?
Row.
Wow, you front row?
I didn't even know who he was, but I got hooked up with some seats.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, wow,
man.
I like this guy.
I have near 30 guitars. I have 27 or 28 guitars, and that's not near enough.
It's not near enough.
I just think the world's a lot better place with a whole lot of guitars.
Come
in
on.
It. Well, man, whenever we do our podcast, one of the things that's important to me is, one thing, I don't do anything that's not relational. If I can't be relational with people, I just don't mess with them because everything in the kingdom is relational.
That's right.
Before it is functional. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to live life with people. You got to be able to love people. Number one, church and ministry is too hard to be around a bunch of miserable human beings. I'm just telling you, man.
I hear you.
So we're just like, hey, look, we're going to love each other. We're going to have fun. We're going to be serious about the outcome, and we're going to be serious about fruit, but we're not going to take ourselves very serious. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of irreverent humor involved in my life.
I know.
I know you know. But also, too, man, what's really important to me is, man, these rock star friends of mine, just like you, guys that are making a difference all over the world, who have such a heart for Jesus. You know, one of the things I love about you, man, is I love your passion for Jesus. I love how incredibly passionate you are for the things of the Lord.
Yes.
And I try really hard in all of our podcasts, man, to share that. I try really hard to share, you know, our passion. So before we get off into passion and before we do that, because we got to talk about that, okay? In fact, we might end up just going off on passion, okay?
Yeah.
Tell us who you are. Tell us what Heartwork is and tell us all about that.
All right. Jeremiah Parks, born and raised here in Texas.
That's right.
In Burleson, Burleyville. And
Burleyville.
A lot of exciting and crazy things went on during those years, and that's a whole another story.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that because I was from the other side of the tracks in Joshua.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Burleson people and Joshua people don't really mix very well.
Well, Burleson, we were the big
city folk.
I
know, y'all were like
hoity-toity podunks down there. And crazy life, crazy story, redemption story, God rescuing story of my life. And then when I was 18, went off to college, Oral Roberts University. God did amazing things there, and I've been in youth ministry all these years since then.
Okay.
And through a lot of different crazy tragedies and crisis and pain and suffering, the Lord birthed Heartwork in our lives. And just incredible story. It wasn't one of these things where we had this great plan and vision and strategy. It was more like we fell into it.
I understand.
And you know, you're building a ship at sea kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
And we're into it. Whoa, look what God's doing. This is unbelievable. Yep. Oh, this is those things that were prophesied years ago. Now they're happening.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You did a lot of times you don't know it till you're in the middle of it.
Yes.
Oh, God, this is what you said years ago. So in those stories, it's all connected. My story growing up, a lot of abuse and things like this from my dad, and the stories of youth ministry and heart work, they're all interwoven together. The story of the Father and identity, sons and daughters in Christ, redemption, and if we get started on passion, it's all over.
Oh yeah, no, that's exactly what we got to do. One of the things I tell people, coming from a similar background as a child myself, is it makes you hear the voice of people who need to be rescued,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean, mm-hmm. I hear the voice of people who need to be rescued. I hear that voice, and it activates you. On the side of redemption, it activates you. If you're not redeemed, it just owns you.
Yes.
Right on.
Yeah. Yep.
But if you're redeemed, you're activated, and it's literally the vengeance of the Lord comes into operation. Everybody thinks that the vengeance of God is God showing up and killing everybody. The vengeance of God is His goodness and His power demonstrated in people in a situation where they were once owned.
Yes.
That's the
Preach
vengeance
it.
Of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The vengeance is, hey, do your worst.
Yeah,
death,
yeah.
hell,
yeah, yeah.
everything,
yeah,
come
yeah.
on. Jesus says, I'll take it, I'll absorb it all,
yes.
and I'll destroy it.
Come on.
I'll eat it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll just tear it to pieces. It's not defend from death. It's give it all to me.
Come on.
And I'll overcome it. It's the power.
My friends, this is Troy Brewer, and I've got about 20 seconds of this first segment left here to tell you that you're listening to Experiencing Real Life, a podcast that is available totally free at troybrewer.com. I'm here in the Open Door Studios today with my good friend, Pastor Jeremiah Parks of Heartwork. We'll be right back with you in just about 35 seconds. Boom.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
All right, I'm back here in the studio. Messing around with my really cool Keith Urban guitar.
Keith Urban.
And
the
God bless
Australian
you, Keith Urban.
Cowboy.
That's right. Wherever you're at, man, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. And I'm digging your line of guitars. It's got a pretty good, it's got the electronics in it are pretty good. And that's always a big deal to me because I'm all about electric acoustics. And
got to plug that baby in.
And then when I play electric guitar, I'm a Fender guy. I'm a Fender Strat guy. And I have a much more expensive guitars and nicer guitars. But, man, I love my Fender Strat. I just love how it feels. It just
Classic.
Feels it feels like a guitar ought to feel to me. And that's really important. Well, see that, guys, that's why you don't ever want to miss Experiencing Real Life, because you can miss valuable information exactly like that. Guys, I'm in the studio here today with my good friend, Pastor Jeremiah Parks. And we're talking today about passion. Now, Jeremiah, I was in London last week, and I was with Liberty Fellowship in London, and a great, super good friend of mine, Pastor Lincoln Saranga, all the way from Kigali, Rwanda, and he actually pastors a church in London, and I always visit there, and I got with all of his leadership, and actually what I taught on was the importance of how do you maintain your passion if you've been in ministry for a long, long time. So I'm going to throw out one and talk about it just a little bit, and then it's going to fire you up.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to go back and forth, because I know that there's a lot of people that are listening that are in ministry, people who have left ministry and just have, man, you just lost your passion. Number one, because the environment of church was a toxic environment for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry. I want to just tell you this, man. I'm sorry for everybody who has experienced the toxin that can happen in church environments.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, you've experienced it.
I know it well.
I have experienced it. You actually were part of a world-famous crisis of a church, which we don't have to go into that. But, I mean, you were probably the whole world knew about the crisis of the megachurch that you were involved in.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine what that was like to try and overcome. Mm-hmm. And then you actually had a maniac come into your church, actually murder people in your church. I think just like a year or so after this colossal amount. My gosh. Okay, well, in the midst of all that, man, we got all these relational and functional paradigms of how everybody sizes each other up. And then you got the work of the church. And it's just hard. Okay, let me just say this. Everything that I do from passion. I don't do because I'm obligated to do anything.
Come on.
And I've learned a long time ago, if I just feel like, hey, these people expect this out of me and those people expect that out of me, number one, I'll end up hating those people.
Yep.
And I want to be full of love, man, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly passion driven. I'm still doing a food outreach in the same exact parking lot that I started 31 years ago. Okay? And I mean, but I'm not going there now. I'm going there with hundreds and hundreds of my friends, giving away tens of thousands of pounds of food and all that. But I mean, that's passion, dude. Mm-hmm. That's passion. And so the first thing that I would like to tell you about passion is this. How do you remain passionate? The first thing I would say this is personal involvement. And I think a lot of pastors and a lot of key ministry people miss this because I actually have a fear, Pastor Jeremiah, I have a fear of becoming the kind of pastor that sits in that office right down there and gripes about everything. And I have a fear of that. You know, we have a very large church now, and I don't want to be that guy. So I go to all the outreaches. I go on all the mission trips. I'm gone about 10 days a month somewhere in the world, and I am involved in things that I know are going to break my heart.
Yeah.
I don't want to protect my heart, man.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So
as soon as I start protecting my heart, I start putting myself in a position, man, to hey, my heart is important. I'm sorry, I can't trust anybody. I can't let. And then, man, your passion dies. And that whole thing about leaving your first love, how that you were first in love with Jesus. You know, whenever we save girls out of sexual trafficking, I don't want to just do that. I want to know those girls.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know their stories. And
look them in the face.
I want to look them in the face. Yeah. You know, before I go to sleep every night, just the people's faces that I have in my mind all over the world are so important to me because I want to keep my heart broken.
Yes.
And I cannot keep my heart broken if I'm not personally involved in the trenches.
Yes. I love it. It's so good. It's not, we're never intended to be sitting back in the control tower.
No.
We're not the control tower.
That's right.
We're to be out on the field.
That's right.
We're to be touching people, seeing them. And who's our example of that? Who's
King
the
Jesus.
Model? It's
King
Jesus.
That's right on.
Look at it. Look at the way he did things. Let's do that. The passion for ministry, it's enormously important. And like you said, I mean, we've both seen it. All of us, if you've grown up in church, if you've been in church for any period of time, you're going to see some people doing things out of obligation. You're going to see people who are burnt out.
Yep.
And you can feel it.
Yep.
You can see that. So, I think can I tell you my probably biggest idea for me that passion comes from? And this isn't. I think I could give you a short list of five or six things, but this is the thing that trumps all of it for me. This is the overarching big idea, and that is understanding who it is that we're becoming.
Look out.
When you know that, it blows away everything else.
Oh my
gosh. It blows away the like Pastor Troy mentioned this scandal that we went through in our church years ago and then a shooting. And those kind of things, if you don't understand who you are, who you're becoming, you give up. And I've watched guys that were working with me that just quit. They said, I'm done. This is too much. And I've had many friends, pastors over the years who give up, jump out.
Well, here's what I can say about you. You're not going to bail.
Oh, no way.
And I want to tell you, brother, I'm not either. Sometimes and throughout the years, the only thing I have had to offer was faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything else. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have enough money. I wasn't a good enough leader. I didn't have anything else to offer except for I'm just not going to bail.
Yeah.
And so the only way that you can keep from bailing is that you just can't faint. And this is what King David said. He said his secret to his success was I would have fainted lest I believed I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He's like,
yes.
I'm going to see God do something. I will see heaven invade this earth.
Yes,
I will.
Yes,
it's not just
going to
be a theory. And that brings me to my second criteria in that is that powerful, personal, supernatural encounter will keep you passionate.
Mm.
Well, listen, I just have about 30 seconds left, and we need to unpack these three, because I tell you something, man, if all you're doing, my friend, is reading about people in the Bible who have powerful supernatural encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you can't live off of their walk. Man, you got to live off of your own walk. My friends, you're listening to Troy Brewer, and this is Experiencing Real Life. It's the podcast broadcast on Friday, and I'll be right back with you in 31 seconds. Hello, my friends. It means so much that you're listening to me today. Hi, this is Troy Brewer, and I'd like to invite you to troybrewer.tv. It's your backstage pass into all things Troy Brewer, including all of my conferences, my teaching series, my School of Prophecy, my School of Ministry, and exclusive content with special guests. Join me at troybrewer.tv.
I like that one.
You like that, man? You know, I actually did that in, I was doing a big worship conference in, where was I at? I was actually in Rwanda, and we were in Stephen Gashumba's church in Kigali, Rwanda, and we were there, and they were like, so Pastor, my God, how is it that you worship there? And I started playing Dula Banjo. And they all started losing their mind, clapping and dancing. And oh, my gosh, it was hilarious, man. I absolutely loved it. Well, guys, I'm back in the studios here at Open Door Church. Hello, my friends. This is Troy Brewer, and this is a podcast broadcast Friday. And you can experience this and many other just like it at troybrewer.com. I am in the studio here with my very good friend, Pastor Jeremiah Parks, and he is with Heartwork. Amen. And Heartwork is a ministry that the Spirit of the Lord bore through him, and they're doing such a tremendous work all over the world. Love it on people. I love how you guys love people, man.
Having a good time.
Okay.
We're having a good time.
So we're talking about passion, and we're talking about how do you maintain your passion. I threw two out. One was personal involvement. You can't be the one hearing about the stories. You have to be the one telling the stories.
Yes.
And so I need a new story to tell every day. Mm-hmm. So I have to be involved. I have to help people. I have to bless people. I cannot protect my heart. That's the first one. The second one is I have to have supernatural, ongoing, powerful supernatural encounters with King Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can never live a powerless life.
Yeah.
And so I can't just be the one hearing about the stories. I got to be the one telling the stories. And those are two key principles for me. And I still have another one. But let's unpack the first one. And what was the first one that you gave?
Understanding who you're becoming.
Okay.
Which the things you're saying, all three of your points, they fit perfectly into that. Again, to me, it's the umbrella. It's the culmination. And Jesus is our model. He's our example. He was with the people. He's living out the stories.
Yes.
He's not protecting himself.
Yes.
He's throwing everything out on the line.
Yes.
This is what we're doing as Christ followers. And man, there's so many scriptures that reinforce exactly what you're saying, that those who claim to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Come on, John. Come on, preach it, man.
And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So we're doing those same things. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. There's so many scriptures that teach us how we are to live. But when we get stuck, there's the ditch on either side of the road that we can get stuck in as pastors and leaders. And we already mentioned some of those things. But when we understand who we are becoming, we are unstoppable. You'll never grow weary. You'll never tire. You know, because you're connected to the source. You're connected to the power. When we wait on the Lord, we will rise up with wings like eagles. So What do we mean by that? Like, I think as Christians, we all can say, oh, yeah, we're becoming like Jesus. I got it. But here's how I like to say it. The greatest thing that could ever happen to us, the greatest thing, if God appeared right in front of your face in all of his glory and he said, what do you want? Ask me for anything. You would be an absolute idiot if you asked for riches, for fame.
I need a new girlfriend, Lord. Can I have a new girlfriend?
If there's anything in this world you could imagine that you asked for, you'd be a fool. But if you said, Father God.
Come on, here it is.
Make me like your son, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. I want to be like you.
I want to be like you. And God would say to you, your wish has been granted already.
Wow.
I'm already fulfilling that. I already set it in motion. It wasn't your idea. It was mine. And I started working on it a long time ago. And so guess what? That's going to happen for you. And when we don't understand the value of that, when we don't understand that becoming like Jesus is the greatest thing that could ever happen to us,
greatest gift he's
then
ever
we lose
given.
Sight.
Yeah,
that's awesome. We burn out, we get tired, all this. But when you know, it's kind of like this, like God has given us this mountain, and he says, this mountain is yours. Inside of this mountain is filled with gold and diamonds and all kinds of jewels, and I'm going to work with you to mine out all the gold in there.
Come on.
You want to do it? And you're like, yeah, let's do it. Well, along the way, your pickaxe breaks.
Yep.
You get a cut on your arm.
Yep.
You fall down into the
avalanche.
Mine and break your leg.
Avalanche happens.
Would you give up when those things happen?
No, you would keep going.
You'd be like, I don't care what happens. Bring it on. There's gold in that mountain, and I'm going to get it out. And it's mine, and I'm guaranteed it. No one could ever take it away. It's just a matter of time. It's a process.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. God has given us the greatest riches ever. And what is at the core of it? When God says that you are being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus, what is it really? I think for a lot of us as believers, we don't have an imagination for what that means. We say, okay, well, I'm going to be like Jesus. Does that mean I'm going to die on a cross? Does that mean I'm going to, like, am I just going to suffer my whole life or whatever? Or is it, I don't understand the glory part of it. At the core, it is this: to be able to receive love and to give love.
Wow.
Perfectly. Receive love and
wow.
Give love. That's what every one of us wants in the deepest part of our heart. It's what every person who's chasing money, every person who's chasing sex and fame and what power and whatever, that really want love. And the Bible tells us, we know that God is powerful. We know that he is all-knowing, that all of these things. But we are told that he is love.
Hallelujah.
He is love. So when Lucifer says, I want to become like God, his sin is that he's become selfish and he doesn't even understand who God really is. Because what he's saying is, I want the power and I want the worship. But Lucifer would never have been in sin if he had said, God, I want to become like you. I want to be able to love perfectly, to give love and to receive love. If he had done that, we'd all be good. But he jumped off the track because he misunderstood what it meant to be like God. And when you and I misunderstand what it means to become like Jesus, we fall off in the ditch. But when we say, Lord, I want to love. I want to love like you did. And where's my proof for this in Scripture? When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment?
Wow.
He says, well, here it is.
There you go.
Love God with everything that you are. And you know what? The second one is so much like it that I can't leave it out. I have to answer your question with saying the second commandment is also that you would love others as yourself. In all of the law, all of the prophets, everything about Scripture is fulfilled in those two things.
Hallelujah.
Right there.
Well, I think applause is appropriate.
Come on.
Love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Love you, God. Praise you,
Woo!
Lord. Well, you know what? Pastor Jeremiah, we just have about a minute and 20 seconds left, man. Would you just pray over everybody would you just pray over the burnout people? Would you pray for the passionate people? Will you do that for me? We got about a minute left.
Okay.
Here we go.
Father God, we thank
you
so much for your Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Jesus.
Lord, that you can do in a moment what
That's
we can
right.
never do in a lifetime.
Yes.
And Father, I have seen the pain and the suffering, the brokenness, the disappointment that
Love
happens
you, God.
To ministers
you,
in the church through leaders falling, failing, moral failures, all kinds of different things. And Lord, I pray that for every brother and sister listening that you would bring healing, supernatural
yes,
healing
Lord.
By your Holy Spirit. Set
Passion.
Our minds right, our perspectives right, and
yes,
heal
Lord.
Our hearts, Lord, and restore what's been stolen by the enemy.
Yes.
And renew those who have been taken out of their positions and out of their power, Lord. Set them right.
Do it, God.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor, I want to say thank you so much, Pastor Jeremiah Parks. Call you blessed, man. Thank you so much.
Yes.
From Heartwork, guys, be sure and look that up. Now, listen, you can hear these drums. There's the drums, and boom. All right, my friends. Listen, this has been great. This has been a podcast broadcast here on Experiencing Real Life, heard from coast to coast, literally all over the United States, and also now in the nation of Belize on two powerful FM stations down there. And And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in here today. Now, look, you guys can go to troybrewer.com and you can go to the listen part, and it's got this, it has this one, and it has many other podcasts, and all you just point, click, and listen. And it's easy and it's free, and I encourage you to do that. And while you're there at troybrewer.com, be sure and sign up for my free daily devotional called Daily Transformation. Daily Transformation is a devo that we send out to people literally all over the world, thousands of people every single day, and it has a prophetic directive for every day of the year. It has a prophetic word for every day of the year, and then it has a short little Bible study, including the scriptures. You know what? This will be a great big blessing to you, and it's free. All you have to do is sign up at troybrewer.com. Now, while you're there, be sure and look into all the information because, guys, I am so passionate about redemption. You know, redeemed people ought to be redeeming people, and that's exactly what we are doing through Troy Brewer Ministries. Guys, we are literally buying little girls all over the world. We are liberating young women all over the world out of the terrors of sexual trafficking in the nations of Nepal, in the nations of India, and now in the nation of Belize. Guys, we're doing a tremendous work there. And you know what? If you join the tribe for any kind of recurring gift that you offer at troybrewer.com or at troybrewer.tv specifically, you know what, man? You can have access to every single one of my videos. We have an incredible archive of all of my conferences, which is my Looking Up conference, my Numbers That Preach conference, my conferences on spiritual warfare, my worship conferences, my women's conferences. This is all right there at troybrewer.tv. And then also all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my pulpit teaching here from Open Door Church, and then something that we call exclusive content that we film literally all over the world. So you can have access to all of that at troybrewer.tv when you join the tribe. Well, my friends, that's all the time that we have for today. I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Blessings and peace on you, my friends. Bye-bye. Hello, friends. This is Troy Brewer, and I'm so glad that you listen to me every day. Man, may the Lord bless you. You know that I have a tremendous passion to save girls out of sexual trafficking all over the world, and because of your partnership, that's exactly what we are doing. Within the past year and a half, we have been able to rescue 176 girls out of sexual slavery, and we have also been able to prevent more than 120 girls from ever becoming sexual slaves. Now, we're able to do this through something that's called our Bridge Intervention Teams. This is a team of five dedicated people that stay on the bridges that connect Nepal and the nation of India, and they actually profile people that are marching girls across those bridges to the sexual slave market. My friends, we're making such a big difference, and guys, I need you to partner with me. Would you please consider partnering with me at troybrewer.com? Would you please consider sponsoring one of these teams? It's making a bigger difference than you'll ever know.